to the Sportsnet Radio Network's continuing coverage of the Major League Baseball playoffs. I'm Mike Wilner, and I have to tell you, back here at Baseball Control, I was really hoping that the only game that I would do here from Baseball Control in Toronto was going to be that American League wildcard game between the Houston Astros and the New York Yankees. That's the last time I was in here. But it was not to be. The Blue Jays go out in the American League Championship Series in Game 6. They lose 4-3 to the Kansas City Royals at Kauffman Stadium, and Game 1 at Kauffman Stadium of the World Series is coming up in just over an hour. Dan Shulman's going to have the call, so that's going to be fun to have him here on our Sportsnet Radio Network. Now, normally what we've always done in the postseason, ever since I've been here, is the Blue Jay a Day pregame show. But, you know, it's been 3 days since the Blue Jays were knocked out. They've had 3 days off. They're getting settled in. And I really didn't think I'd be able to get a Blue Jay today. I did get one. I'd love to do it, but I'm going to be on a plane, which was really impressive, actually. But still kind of got a couple of invites out there in the ether. So there may be a Blue Jay joining us today, but I wouldn't bet on it. But we will be back here because of the because of other things going on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, including Raptors opening day and some Leaf games and stuff like that. We've only got two of these pregame shows for the World Series today, and if it happens, Game 6. We will have a Blue Jay for Game 6. Just not sure who yet. But tonight, I kind of wanted to do like a sober second thought Blue Jays talk, because I haven't gotten a chance to talk to you all since right after Game 6 ended. And right after Game 6 ended, people were upset. People were disappointed. People were angry. People were sad. If all these feelings, the entire range of emotions, you know, to quote the great male synchronized swimmers from Saturday Night Live 20 years ago, happy, sad, underwater, all the emotions. And now those emotions have at least calmed a bit. And we can look back at what was a fantastic playoff run for your Toronto Blue Jays. And what really, top to bottom, was a great year. Yeah, they fell short, just short. One hit, one hard ground ball through a drawn-in infield. One fly ball away. That's how close the Blue Jays were to forcing a Game 7 with Marcus Stroman on the mound. Were they a better team than the Kansas City Royals this year? Probably. Were the Royals a better team in the American League Championship Series? Definitely. But let's look, well, we don't have to look back, but I want to hear from you. I want to hear what your memories of the season were. I want to hear what your thoughts about the Blue Jays were and are. I want to know if your fandom changed and how dramatically it was affected by what the Blue Jays were able to do this year. And what was the moment that you'll never forget? I have an idea of what the "where were you when" moment of 2015 was for the Blue Jays and their fans. But I want to hear from you. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. It's Sober Second Thought Blue Jays Talk. And it's coming up as we get you set for Game 1 of the World Series. Mets and Royals. It's a Sportsnet Radio Network.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Welcome back to Baseball Control in Toronto. I'm Mike Wilner. And I'm not happy about being here at Baseball Control in Toronto. I wanted to be at Rogers Centre getting ready for Game 1 of the World Series, and we were close to being there. One ground ball through a hole, one fly ball that scored a run, a wild pitch. A hit. And the Blue Jays force Game 7, and who knows what happens there. Marcus Stroman against Johnny Cueto. But instead, the Kansas City Royals beat the Blue Jays 4-3 in Game 6, taking the American League Championship Series 4-2. And they have earned the right to host Games 1 and 2 of the World Series. Game 1 is scheduled to get underway in an hour. Will it? Dunno. The tarp's on the field. We're told it's a light drizzle and the game will be able to start on time. We will have the game for you. I will be back after the game. We'll talk a little bit. But right now we got a lot of time to talk. And it's a sober second thought Blue Jays talk, because this is our first chance to talk about your Toronto Blue Jays since right after the end of Game 6, when emotions were sort of running high. You know the phone numbers? There aren't any lines open right now, so you got to kind of play it strategically and catch it at the right time and try to get through. But I want to know your thoughts about the year in general. I want to know, did your fandom change this year? Were you swept up in it? Were you someone who never could watch a baseball game start to finish before, but found yourself at the edge of your seat for 3.5 hours for 11 nights in October? And what's the moment you'll never forget from 2015? Mark is in Hamilton. Hey, Mark.
Mike, how you doing, buddy?
Good. Welcome to the Sober Second Thought Blue Jays Talk.
Thank you, sir. Man, I wish we were doing this before Game 1 of the World Series for the Jays. Man.
Yeah.
But anyway, very quick question for you. First of all, the bat flip, the home run with the bat flip, that's the moment of these playoffs for Jays fans. Like, that was, on a smaller scale, obviously, the Joe Carter moment, I think, for this generation of Jays fans. So start off with that. But secondly, very quick question for you, just sober second thoughts about the season. Do you think, A, that the Jays would have done as well in the regular season, or B, once they got to the postseason, would have done as well if they had had Reyes in the lineup rather than Tulo? I'm going to hang up because my phone's kind of crap, and I'll listen to your answer. But, man, as I said, I wish we were doing this before Game 1, but go Mets.
All right. You know, the Blue Jays have never lost in the playoffs to a team that didn't go on to win the World Series. So maybe not go Mets, you know? Maybe go Royals. Keep that tradition alive. I don't think the Blue Jays win the AL East if Jose Reyes is still here at shortstop. The bat would have played better than Tulowitzki's, I think, just because Troy Tulowitzki wasn't Troy Tulowitzki offensively in his time with the Blue Jays. It's amazing because this is the guy who's tied for second on the all-time list in postseason RBIs or RBIs in one playoff with the Blue Jays with 11. But we never saw the real Troy Tulowitzki as far as offense is concerned at all this season with the Blue Jays. So I think that they would have gotten more bat if they'd kept Jose Reyes. Now, you can look at what Reyes did with Colorado. He hit 259 with a 290 on base. But I don't think you can say, well, that's what he would have done if he'd stayed with the Blue Jays. I think it was a real shock to his system, and he was very upset by the trade and didn't expect it and was sent from a team that was right in the thick of a playoff race. I think they were a game out of the wild card when the trade was made, or two, to a team that was in dead last and going nowhere. So I think that might have been what changed Reyes's numbers for the worse. But I think that despite the fact that we didn't see the real Troy Tulowitzki as a hitter, we sure as hell saw the real Troy Tulowitzki as defender. And that glove, that defense at shortstop, combined with Ryan Goins' defense at second, Kevin Pillar's in center, and Russ Martin's behind the plate, that up-the-middle defense was probably the best in baseball with Troy Tulowitzki there, not with Jose Reyes there. And, you know, is it a six-game difference, a five-game difference? They wound up winning the division by, it's funny, I can't even remember if the Blue Jays won the division by five or six. I think it was six, but I'm checking right now. Yeah, it was six. So would Jose Reyes' glove versus Troy Tulowitzki's glove have made a six-game difference? No. But it wasn't six games for a lot of that time. And I don't think that I don't think they win the division with Jose Reyes playing shortstop. Jeff, you're up next. Jeff is in Richmond Hill. Welcome to the Sober Second Thought Blue Jays Talk.
Good evening, Mr. Wilner. How are you?
I am well, thank you.
Now, as sad as we kind of feel, we have to say on the flip side that the Jays gave the city, the country, a great run, and we should all be grateful and thankful for showing that what a beautiful game of baseball is. And like anything, you know, KC was a game seven of the World Series. We have to earn our stripes. We had a great offense, but, you know, we didn't hit that fly ball many a time, not just in the game six to drive in a run from third base with less than two outs. You know what I mean? Now, my next point that I want to make is what you just mentioned about Tulo. Now, in my opinion, Goins is phenomenal. And as he got to play every day, he was very, very good. Even the bat started coming alive. If Travis is half as good as they say with the bat, McCowan, I had said this previously on another show, but McCowan kind of mentioned the same thing I'm about to say, and maybe I'll take heat. But I would trade Tulo, his contract, along with Pompey, which could get us an A to A-minus pitcher, which we definitely need. Free agency, get ourselves maybe a Zimmerman, somebody like that, to that type of quality. And Estrada, he pitched phenomenally, did great. But in the reality of it, he was really a long relief man who had a breakout season. Does that mean he's going to duplicate that if he's maybe outpriced himself for the Jays, where maybe the money can go elsewhere? But the defense is solid. You got the same core guys. Batista, what are you going to do with him? And Edwin, I think, will stay. The fact of the matter is that we have a good team. We have to earn our stripes. But I really believe that Tulo, you have to give up something to get something. AA has done that. And one last thing is that I had called 3 months earlier and mentioned that we need to get this guy signed now. You know, he's saying all the right things, AA, just like Price is saying all the right things that he'd like to come back.
Who's this
guy? But the reality is that money talks, and you've got Boston sitting out there waving maybe some money, and there's a possibility that we lose AA. And really, I don't want to see that happen because this guy is one of the brightest minds in the game, and that's really all I've got to say for now. But like I said, I really believe that we got to trade Tulo. Not that I dislike him, but I think that with Goins and Travis replaces Tulo's bat, and then we can get ourselves a really main pitcher and then a free agent pitcher and then work on the bullpen. Because remember one last thing, Brett Cecil was packed and out of town, but he got his chance. And some of these young pitchers, it just takes a couple of years to make that change, that development switch. And guys like Sanchez, even Hutch, they can come back and don't give up on them. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. That was a whole lot and a lot of all over the place. So I'll address what I think was your main contention. And I know that a lot of people are talking about trading Troy Tulowitzki because of Ryan Goins and Devon Travis. Let's not forget three important things. Or maybe it's one important thing involving three people. Troy Tulowitzki, Jose Bautista, and Edwin Encarnacion all have no movement clauses. All of them. When Tulowitzki got traded to the Blue Jays, his contract became a no-trade contract. Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion are both 10-5 guys, so they have no trade clauses. So we can talk about trading any of those three until we're blue in the face. They have no trade clauses. So it really, honestly, is not even worth discussing. They're not going anywhere. You can always try to, you know, buy out a guy's no trade clause. Tulowitzki's already making $22 million. I don't know how many teams are going to be willing to throw a couple mil on top of that. And before we go nuts about Ryan Goins and the bat coming around, boy, did the bat ever come around in August. When he hit 314 with a 442 on base percentage. But in September and October in the regular season, he was back at 263, 324 on base, 698 OPS, which is solid for a good defensive shortstop, but it's not good. And he was 5-for-36 in the playoffs, hit 139 with a 412 OPS. So, 0-for-17 against Texas, and then hit his 263 without a walk against the Royals. So, before we start being sold on the bat of Ryan Goins, let's just remember Troy Tulowitzki's the best shortstop in baseball. Yes, the Blue Jays are going to need to address the pitching staff. They have to address the general manager first. But Troy Tulowitzki's got a no-trade clause. So does Edwin Encarnacion. So does Jose Bautista. Jane in Halifax, listening on 95.7. How are the Maritimes treating you?
Not bad at all. A little chilly.
Oh, well, that's all right.
I'm so glad to talk to you, Mike. I talked to you once before a long time ago, but I've never been able to get in this year for some reason. I'm 74. I don't have a TV, but I love the show on the radio, and I love your show afterwards. I just wanted to say that even though we didn't win, I am so proud of our Blue Jays. And who else could unite a whole country? Well, we won't even think of Trudeau. I'm not talking that. But, I mean, and, like, I look at I tell you, my favorite is Pilar and his catches. It's amazing. I save some from the highlights on the computer. And I like Ryan Goins, and Josh is my man. But I can't vote for him because I don't have an email address.
Vote for him for what?
For Josh Donaldson for MVP.
Oh, okay, but you don't get a vote anyway, though.
I know.
Yeah. Oh, but you mean anyway, for the All-Star game. But you got to get yourself an email address just so you can vote for the All-Star game.
Yeah, well, no, I've been hacked here, and I won't get another one.
Oh, okay.
Hack several times. But don't forget those two calls by the umpires, and that they weren't right. Because I watched it on the – I watched everything. I hear the ball game, and then I go and get the watch all the highlights.
Uh-huh.
And that's how – because I don't have a TV.
Right.
And my favorites are Pilar. Listen, how old is Ryan Goins? Do you know?
Yes, in fact, I do.
Because there seems to be, like, they're just kids. I mean, I'm 74, and I look at them, and I'm just, wow, at that age. They're so good.
Well, but that's when you're at your athletic peak. Ryan Goins is 27 years old, which
27.
Is... Yeah, which is not young for an elite-level athlete at all.
Marco?
Estrada?
Mm.
He's like 31.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
He's awesome. I know we didn't win, and I'm sorry we didn't win. But just remember the great ride we had. It's fabulous.
Thank you, Jane. Appreciate the call. And I'm sorry that you've been hacked several times. You might want to use a password that's not password. That would probably help. But, you know, you got to get that email so that you can vote for Josh Donaldson. I say you go back on the email and get another one. But I do appreciate the call. It's great to hear from, especially from the people who only listen on the radio. I love that. That's big for us. This is Sober Second Thought, Blue Jays Talk. Jordan is in North York. Hey, Jordan.
Hey, Mike. How's it going tonight?
Good. What's the moment from 2015 that you'll never forget?
For me personally, it was the Estrada game in the ALCS. Man, that was incredible. That was my birthday. I was at the game. It was a childhood dream of mine. I was 10 years old when the Jays won in 93. I always wanted to go to a playoff game on my birthday at Sky Dome or Rogers Center. And I got to see one of the most impeccable pitching performances of the Blue Jays playoff history.
Probably the best. Game 5 in the ALCS. Yeah, Marco Estrada taking that one-hit shutout into the eighth inning. It was incredible.
It was just ridiculous. He's so graceful out there. I was sitting first row 500s, and I could see his ball jumping around. His changeup died down 10 to 12 miles per hour. It was what a sight to see, you know?
Yeah, it really was. It was. And it was great of him to do it on your birthday.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was a childhood dream come true. You know, a couple other big, you know, points for me.
Sure.
Obviously, the Edwin hat trick, a home run. That was, you know, something incredible when the fans started throwing the hats on the field. I've never seen anything like that at a baseball game. The true Canadians in us came out, I guess you could say.
Okay. And
the Donaldson catch.
Yeah.
Well, the rest of the season he put together, you know, that's an MVP season, regardless of who ends up winning. I'm pretty sure, you know, most of the people in Toronto can agree that that is an MVP season. What he put together was just remarkable.
Yes. And that catch that he made at the Trop for the first out of the eighth inning while Marco Estrada was throwing a perfect game at the time. That's.
Oh, yeah. That was
unbelievable.
Not a lot of people, you know.
Yeah.
You can talk about that one, right?
Right.
The Batista bat flip, I think that's everybody's general consensus pick just because of, you know, the moment, the Joe Carter-esque of the home run, if you will, right?
Yeah, I think that's probably what I'm going to hear from a lot of people. But you brought up a couple of really good other ones. And Sportsnet right now is showing the top 100 plays of the year, and they've got the Kevin Pillar top 100, probably 38 of them are Kevin Pillar catches. He was unbelievable. But the number one was the one where he went up over the wall on Jackie Robinson Day. That was right at the beginning of the season, April 15th, like not even 2 weeks into the season. And that was a huge, huge play to make that catch. There are a lot of unforgettable moments from the 2015 season, and I would love to hear your most unforgettable as we continue with our Sober Second Thought Blue Jays Talk, working our way towards Game 1 of the World Series. The tarp is off the field in Kansas City. They're just about, well, they're not just about getting ready to go, but there will be baseball in KC. It'll be Matt Harvey against Edinson Volquez, Mets and Royals. We continue taking your calls pretty much right up to the top of the hour. It is the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Welcome back. It is our Sober Second Thought Blue Jays Talk as we get you set for Game 1 of the World Series. The Mets and Royals, and we all wish that this was just another postseason pregame show. Getting you set for the Blue Jays, but it was not to be. Kansas City Royals win the American League Championship Series in Game 6. I'm asking for your where were you now moment. And it's funny because you going back to the beginnings, I remember of Jay's Talk when I started hosting it in 2002. People would call in with these vivid memories that were just wrong. Somebody called me and said he was at the game where Jesse Barfield hit 4 home runs. And I said, no, Jesse never hit 4 home runs. And, you know, you remember things. And they never happen. So I'm asking for your unforgettable moment of the 2015 season. And I will trust that when you call me, I mean, well, no, obviously, but that it will have happened. But I just got a tweet. My favorite was your call on the Jose Bautista bat flip home run. I did not call the Jose Bautista bat flip home run. Jerry did. That happened in the 7th inning in Game 5 of the American League Championship Series. So hasn't even been 2 weeks. Or it has. It's just been 2 weeks. Tomorrow. I would have loved to have called that home run. I have no idea what would have come out of my mouth. I have no idea whether it would have been even able to be understood by humans. But I got the Edwin homer in that game, and I'll take that. That was huge. But Jose Bautista's was huger. Back to the phones we go. Andrew is in Halifax on 95.7. Welcome to Sober Second Thought Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, thanks a lot. How you doing tonight?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. I guess to answer your question really quick, the split second that Jose hit the ball, it was a no-doubter. So before he even could flip the bat, I know me and my family jumped up in the air and knew it was a goner for sure. So that was definitely the moment of the year for us. And my family's a big Blue Jay fan, but I've been a Mets fan since 85, since I was a kid. Ever since Gary Carter went there from the Expos, I was jumping on that bandwagon and stayed with the Mets ever since.
Do you know whose job Gary Carter took? Do you know why the Mets needed a catcher so badly and they traded for, I mean, Gary Carter's a Hall of Famer, but you know why they needed a catcher?
I don't.
Because John Gibbons was supposed to be their starting catcher, and he got rolled in spring training and I believe broke a cheekbone or a shoulder, something like that.
Okay, now I know for sure.
Gibby went down, they needed a catcher, and they got Gary Carter.
Oh, great. Well, that was a great pickup. They ended up winning in 86. So, but I've been a big Mets fan, like I said, for 30 years, and I was so on the bandwagon with the Blue Jays this year that I was 95% sure that I was going to end up cheering for the Blue Jays in the World Series if they made it against my Mets. So it was just unbelievable to see the camaraderie on the team and seeing how much they actually really enjoyed playing baseball with each other. It was just awesome to see, and my family was into it. My 8-year-old son it was great to watch and with him, and just, you know, all the sign gestures they were doing and how much fun they were having after the games, and it really grabbed my attention. I couldn't go to bed without finalizing watching games. And so, like I said, I'm a huge Mets fan, but it just kills me that the Blue Jays ended up losing it out this year. So it's terrible. But hopefully my Mets can pull it off. But I would rather see the Blue Jays, to be honest, for the whole country.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, as a huge Mets fan, what would have been your preference if the Mets and Jays got together? I remember in 1993, one of my best friends was a huge Phillies fan from when he was a kid, and a Jays fan as well. And the Phillies and Jays obviously played each other in 93. We went to Game 1 of the World Series together. And as soon as that thing started, he looked at me and he said, yeah, no, the Jays. Forget the Phillies right now.
Yeah, I definitely would have. All my buddies at work were saying, no, you can't get off the Mets bandwagon, and, you know, you can't do it. And I would never think about doing it in any other sport, but for some reason this year, and like I said, I think it was just watching so many games and seeing how much fun they had together playing and watching Donaldson having the year that he had and just bringing in the big players like Price and those guys and doing what they needed to do and just playing ball. It was just awesome to watch. So I think I would have actually been cheering for the Jays. So, again, it takes my interest a little bit away from the World Series, even though I'll watch a little bit of it for sure.
I hope so. You're a Mets fan.
I am.
Imagine what the people who aren't Mets fans are thinking right now.
Yeah, exactly. But, you're right. You're right. No reason to really watch. They're moving on to watching their Maple Leafs lose. So.
I hope not. Thanks, Andrew.
All right, take care.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. And I think interest in the World Series will probably be down a little bit more than in previous years here in Canada, just because of the ride that the Blue Jays took us all on. But remember, the last time the Blue Jays got to the American League Championship Series and lost, we were then treated to one of the greatest World Series of all time, if not the greatest World Series ever. 1991, the Minnesota Twins against the Atlanta Braves. Certainly the greatest Game 7 ever. Maybe the greatest World Series ever. Jeff is in Mississauga. Jeff, what will you never forget about the 2015 Blue Jays season?
Hey, Mike, thanks for taking my call. First-time caller.
All right, welcome.
Thank you. And probably the moment I'll never forget will be watching Aaron Sanchez pitch. It was one of his last games and probably my first time going for a live game. And it was really incredible. His fastball is electric.
Yeah, everything that comes out of his arm is electric. He's a special, special pitcher.
The way he behaves.
Okay.
Yep, and it was really incredible. And there were some people in front of us, around us, who weren't really from Canada, and it was incredible. One guy from Sweden was there as his first game.
Wow.
Of baseball. Yeah.
Well, I hope the person who was explaining baseball to the Swedish guy knew what he was talking about.
Yeah, I hope so, too.
All right, that's great, Jeff. Thank you for calling, and thank you for sharing the memory. And that's great that you got to go to your first big league game this year. Diane is in Mississauga. Diane, welcome to Second Thought Blue Jays Talk.
Thank you, and this I'm a first-time caller, too.
All right, welcome aboard.
Okay. Well, my favorite moment was that seventh inning, and I think it will probably go down in history, so... and everybody will know where they were when that happened. But since we're talking about sober thoughts.
I like, by the way, that you said that seventh inning, and you don't even have to say what game it was because everybody knows.
Yeah.
Yeah, well done.
So sober question, though.
Yeah.
I enjoyed watching the Blue Jays all summer, even before they were on their real run.
Yep.
And I just wondered what you thought about the way Drew Hutchison was treated.
How do you mean?
At the end.
Treated?
Well, just that, you know, he had a good record.
Yes.
He
had a good one-loss record, but that was the only thing that was good about Drew Hutchison's
year. But even at the end when they could have used him, it kind of made me sad that he was down in Florida.
In the playoffs?
Yeah.
He didn't deserve to be on the playoff roster.
No, but Burley was on the bench.
Yeah.
Why,
probably
you know?
Because... Well, for a couple of reasons. First of all, Mark Burley is a 36-year-old veteran who's been through this before, who's won a World Series, and who was a big, big, big part of the culture in that room. And probably, although it turned out to be otherwise, but probably I think Drew Hutchison might have been closer to getting a call to be placed on the roster than Burley was. So it might have been a little bit more important for him to stay loose and stay in shape and keep going.
I guess it just made me a little sad that he was, you know, he really did contribute to the season and then he wasn't around for any of the...
Well, I mean, you can only carry so many guys who aren't rostered and travel them with you. And the truth of the matter is, if he'd pitched better, there wouldn't have been a question that he'd have been on that playoff team, but he very clearly was not one of the Blue Jays' top four or even five starting pitchers this year.
Oh no, I wasn't saying about
right. Yeah, but I mean,
starter.
Yeah.
But seeing who else was in the bullpen, I don't know. I just wondered at the end.
He pitched out of the bullpen a couple of times in September, and it was kind of train wrecky.
But like Tapera, like. You know, I guess it just kind of puzzled me. It just made me a little sad for him that, you know, he wasn't able to celebrate with the team that he really helped get there.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from, for sure. It would have been great to see him in that pile at the end of the American League Division Series. And I know that he's a popular guy on the team and he pitched his guts out. There was no question about that. But he didn't deserve to be on the roster. And so it all comes down to the whole if you don't like a pitch better thing, right? It can be a heartless business sometimes. Game one of the World Series is going to start on time. It gets underway in 26 minutes. We will take you to the ESPN coverage at the top of the hour. And until then, we continue to take your calls on the Sober Second Thought Blue Jays Talk. It is the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Welcome back to Sober Second Thought Blue Jays Talk. It's the pregame show. We're getting you set for game one of the World Series. I'm Mike Wilner here at Baseball Control in Toronto. And again, I was hoping not to be back here at Baseball Control in Toronto again this year. Not because I don't love Derek Brandeo and Mike Cesney. Can't wait to hear the stuff that comes out of Cesney's mouth on a regular basis. But because I was kind of hoping that, you know, I'd be at the ballpark right now at Rogers Center getting ready for the Blue Jays hosting game one of the World Series, but that did not happen. And wow, how about this? Just tweeted out by Hector Gomez, who is a sports editor at Z101. Edinson Volquez, who is scheduled to start game one of the World Series in 20 minutes, just lost his father. Apparently, Edinson Volquez's father, Daniel, just passed away at the age of 63 due to heart disease. That is, it's terrible news. And one wonders, I guess Volquez is going to pitch. It certainly does add another layer to this game one of the World Series. So our condolences to Edinson Volquez and his family. That is some terrible news to come down 20 minutes prior to, well, anything. But this is going to be talked about a lot tonight, and we hope that Volquez, if he feels like he can get through it and then get to his family. And if he feels like he has to go get to his family now, then fine. All right, happier stuff. We're taking your phone calls as we get you to game one of the World Series. We'll have the ESPN broadcast. And then after it's over, we'll probably take some more phone calls because it's fun. Matthew is in Hamilton. Matthew, I'm asking people for their most unforgettable moment of the Blue Jays 2015 season.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
First and foremost, my heart goes out to Volquez. If he does pitch, hopefully he has a Johnny Mack or Brett Favre type of performance, because that's there's things bigger than baseball, and that's one of them.
Yeah.
My moment, I got two, is the Pilar catch over the wall in left field, and I was at game three of the ALCS, so that whole game just is a highlight for me.
Yeah, that was something. That 11-8 game.
Yeah. So I have a couple of points and then just one question.
Sure.
First, the man earlier who said trade Troy Tulowitzki, that's ludicrous. Our left side of the infield is locked up for a few years and they're both beasts. Trading either one of those guys is crazy.
And the thing too is, I mean, that there's your insurance against Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion leaving after next season when they'll be free agents. You still have Tulowitzki and Donaldson in the middle of your order, and that's pretty huge.
Mike, you took the words out of my mouth. My question, first of all, that lady in the East Coast is adorable. But that was actually leading into my question. If you're going to trade anyone, I don't want it to be Bautista. I'd rather it be Edwin. But with those guys having a lot less time left on their contract, they're on the wrong side of 30. Personally, I would trade one of those two players if you want to upgrade at pitching or anything else. Because trading Tulowitzki and having Goins and Travis seems great, but neither one of them have played a full season in the bigs. They're good defensively, but we don't know what they're going to be with the bat. So I would trade not Batista and Encarnacion, because all he does is DH, would probably be my preference. So that's my question. Would you trade Enwood for any picks or a pitcher?
Well,
love to hear you.
Okay, thanks. You can't really trade for picks in baseball. You can only trade for those competitive balance lottery picks, and there aren't many of those. But, you know, I'll say the same thing I said to the earlier caller who suggested trading Tulowitzki. Edwin's got a no-trade clause. Bautista's got a no-trade clause. Tulowitzki's got a no-trade clause. So those are three guys you can't trade without their permission. So it's that's not someone you want to build a strategy around trying to move when you might not be able to move them. And like you said, Edwin is very limited. He's DH. He'll play a little bit of first base. But you're not going to be able to get an elite starting pitcher for him anyway. And he's got a no-trade clause. That's what it comes down to. Mike is in Ottawa. Hey, Mike.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
My greatest moment, and I was hoping you would get a World Series ring, number one, because you and congratulations to everybody at 590 The Fan. Hoping for a ring for you.
Well, thank you. I don't know that I would have gotten one. I have my doubts, but we'll never know.
Greatest moment for me, September the 23rd, 2015. Why? Because that was when Russell Martin hit that three-run blast right into the deep left field part of the Rogers Center. It was my brother's 52nd birthday as a birthday gift. And the irony is that my one nephew was born 1 week before the 1992 season of the Jays winning the series. And my other nephew, Ashton, was born this week on October the 30th. It was just 7 days after Joe Carter hit the home run.
Wow.
But true.
Good timing from your family.
We always have great events because it's weddings, kids being born, Jays make the playoffs, something big happens.
Perfect.
But it is true. But, you know, and of course, that was a great pitch. That was my moment, and it was a family moment. But my other moment for you is, do you think that the Blue Jays will actually become a top five team in terms of spending money? Because I don't know how long your contract is with Rogers and with the Blue Jays, but should they be a number one team for to spend money? Yes. Maybe a top five? Yes. In the interest of time, will this team go out and take a financial risk? And please and thank you, and I thank you, for everybody at Rogers, for doing a great job this year.
Okay, thank you for the call. I don't know that the Blue Jays should be number one in payroll. Toronto is not Los Angeles, and it's not New York, and it might not even be Chicago. But certainly, I don't see any reason why the Blue Jays can't be a top five payroll team. We saw what this team being great did for revenue, did for attendance, did for the numbers on television, and I'm sure on the radio as well. Though I don't think the radio numbers are a big moneymaker at all for the Blue Jays, but all the other stuff. Yeah, I don't see why not. Do I think they will be? I don't think they will be. But they certainly could be. And one would think that the people who are above me here at Rogers really took notice of what happened from July 31st on. Sold out almost every game. And the place was going crazy. There were, at one point during Game 5 of the American League Championship Series, over 11 million people watching across Canada. That's a third of the population almost, and that includes babies and people without televisions. So you would think that close to half the people who could have been watching were watching. So yeah, this thing is sustainable financially. A lot of calls we couldn't get to. I want to thank you all so much for holding, but we have a baseball game that we got to get to in Kansas City. Game one of the World Series between the Mets and the Royals. I'm tempted to just say, screw the game and let's do this Blue Jays talk all night long. But when the game is over, I'll be back. So if you're back, the phone lines will open again and we'll take your calls. at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance 1-888-666-0590. Just got a tweet that says, no greatest moment this year. The loss is still too raw for me, and that really is a shame. I mean, it was Friday night. It's Tuesday night now. You had the weekend. If you even needed that long, this was a great, great, great season for the Blue Jays, and I don't think anyone should still be down in the dumps about the way it ended. It's too bad. It really is. But there were only two other teams left standing when the Blue Jays walked off the field in Kansas City. We'll take you to baseball when we come back. That'll be game one of the World Series on the Sportsnet Radio Network.